The week that was on the Mayo Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. John Gunnigan. I mean, it doesn't stop. How many weeks? We're nearly a month out of the championship. More, I would suggest. And we're still producing great pods. Jason Doherty was on the podcast this week. And we had probably one of the best club football chats I think I've ever heard on the podcast. I can say that because I wasn't involved in it. So I can praise Mike and the crew. They were brilliant. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. I would argue we had two really good club chats. Though you're too modest to mention the other one that you were involved in, which I really enjoyed because that kind of told you everything you wanted to know game by game, including all of the rumors and suppositions and half-truths that Mike was pulling out of the hat at every game, which we'll get to later on. So three big pods to look back on this week.
I mean, at one stage he was going through the Davids, what they've been doing in training and who's likely to start in different positions, and Colin Boyle was looking at the screen going, how does he know all this? Well, Colin knows Mike well enough to know how he knows all this, but at this stage over the years. But at the same time, it was very good to get that layout. And to be honest, I just sat back and listened and enjoyed it from the perspective of once the results started coming in and I was watching the streams of the different games, I felt I knew a lot more about what I was watching. It's a pity, though, some of the games were ruined by the weather, but the intensity and the meaning in them wasn't affected one bit, I would suggest.
Yeah. I mean, the weather was such a spoilsport, wasn't it? I mean, I got to Aughmore yesterday only for the second half because I had a bit of a complicated Sunday, but I did manage to make it there for the second half. And I mean, it's situated on high ground, so you're going to get winds at the best of times. But there was just a gale blowing across the pitch, and how they managed to play football on it was something else. And the match was largely spoiled for that, even though it did catch fire in the final quarter. But I guess we'll come back to that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll talk club football right at the end of this pod. We'll talk club football in great detail on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast with this week's, the very next podcast due out on Tuesday, looking back at the club championship weekend in full. But this is the week that was, you could say, in the Mayo Football Podcast. That's what we do on this feed for all of you listeners, just to give you a little taste of what you're missing and give you a good idea, a feel for the content that is on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, where we bring you stuff each week. This week, it was one exclusive after another, I felt. Jason Doherty was the big one. We're going to start with that, John, because huge news on the Mayo football landscape. And then it was brilliant to get this time sit down with him. Not just time, Mike had a whole hour with him, and my God, did they cover some ground.
They sure did, yeah. I think it was an hour and 10 or something like that. So a really in-depth interview, and it ranged across a whole load of stuff, really taking in all of Jason's inter-county career and more. So a very, very interesting interview. And I think what came across, I don't know what you think, Rob, but certainly what came across from the interview was he spoke like he played. You know, he's an understated guy. He's obviously a thinker of the game, and he's a thinker on life in general. And I thought that came across very, very well. And the first segment we'll hear is where he talks about the process he went through for deciding on retiring. And Mike had a bit of fun with him about later on about his chosen career. He's obviously an engineer, and how much, you know, his engineering mind goes into his decision making in terms of the game. And clearly, it was the work of a logical mind that drove his decision about when was the right time to retire.
Perfect intro to our first clip.
Yeah, for me, it was, to be honest, at the end of last season, I thought about it. I kind of weighed up the pros and cons, and a lot of the reasons for going were kind of based on, oh, what if I get another knock, and what if I'm sick of doing rehab, and what ifs, and there were a lot of what ifs something goes wrong. They weren't really based on a huge amount of fact, and I kind of flipped it, and all of a sudden it was kind of, well, what if something didn't go wrong, what would the following year be like? And then I met Kevin McStay for a coffee in maybe November time frame, was it, in kind of pre-season when he was on board. And yeah, I left that chat and told him I'm on board, like, so it didn't, as much as I thought maybe that was the time to step away, there was kind of inklings in the back of my head that I wanted another crack at proving myself to another management team and kind of going out on a bit more of a high and on a positive note. So to be honest, in terms of making the decision now, I probably knew last November, December that was going to be my last year, and then didn't think about it for the rest of the season. And then obviously when things finished up, there was a few weeks probably just a reflection, and I kind of thought, you know what, yeah, this is the right time. I didn't want to dwell on it and be dragging it out till November, December. I just said, listen, I'll get it done. So yeah, it was probably, no, it wasn't a knee jerk by any means. It was kind of something that I kind of knew probably last year.
The first of a few clips we wanted to bring you and give you a real taste of the Jason Doherty interview on the Mayo Football Podcast this week. John, you're in charge of clipping out what we want to bring to our listeners on this feed. What's next up?
Yeah, the whole interview was actually quite a difficult one, I thought, to give a sense of, because there was so much in it that was of interest. And there was another clip that I had, which I eventually took out because I thought I kind of found better ones, but it was a pity it ended on the cutting room floor, because it was a very good one, and it was about the process that he goes through or went through himself as an intercountry player in terms of thinking through different sessions and reviewing back all the training sessions and just the methodical kind of work. And I guess it was what it was interested in me was the mind work and the amount of work that a player of his caliber does and or did like over a long intercounty career. Anyway, if you're a club member on Patreon, you'll have heard of all that. And I guess it's another reason for you to sign up. But the next clip that I thought we had to pick out was when Mike just asked him straight out, like, you know, why didn't we win an All-Ireland? Why didn't that team of 2012 to 2017, let's say, win an All-Ireland? And I just thought that his rationale for that was definitely something that was worth a second airing.
It's never just one thing. I think we've obviously in a lot of those games came up against one of the top teams ever in Gaelic football is one thing. But secondly, I suppose, I think it's, again, I keep thinking, I don't know why Andy Moran's on the brain, but we used to talk about we were averaging around the 15, 16 scores in a lot of those games. And we'd never got to the 19, 20 kind of scores in those big games, which generally will get you over the line. So, and I think then that all comes back to then, and it's probably been a trait of a lot of our games, is the kind of 70-minute consistency really probably would be the one thing I'd jump to, where we'll have patches of, like, just amazing football, but we could equally back that up with 10 minutes of crazy stuff and where we concede too much for us to be able to claw back. So I think that probably would be the big thing where, you know, we've probably put together, you know, there's probably 50, 60 minute games, but there's always been probably, there's never been that 75 minute maybe really on it that has got us over the line. That's probably what I'd go to myself.
Brilliant stuff, and really gets you thinking. Lots more like that in the interview. We'll just move on to a couple of other areas that were covered in the wide-ranging broad interview, but one of them was something that I think a lot of listeners will be interested in terms of injury. So if you're not a footballer yourself, you know, it might be friends and family, it might be people you're related to have gone through really difficult moments in their career when it comes to injuries. And one injury that is a massive blow to a player when it happens is the cruciate injury that Jason Doherty suffered. We know Tom Parsons went through that. I was chatting to a player from another county recently that I know through another party, who is currently just about to go to the operation, and he's a real star in his own county. And I was telling him, you know, you should get in touch with a few of these players, and he actually had. He was ahead of me. So I think from that perspective, John, you've picked this out. I'm glad you did, because I think a lot of people will listen with interest, and for those of people who aren't affected by it, it'll really help them understand what an incredible journey you have to go on to come back from something like a cruciate knee ligament injury.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because and this is a long segment. This is the longest segment we've picked out. It's over, it's just over 4 minutes long, and it's long because you know the catalogue of injuries that Jason had. Because not only had he one ACL injury, he had one after another. And I thought, like, it's a measure of the man, you know, he was able to joke about it, you know, when he said that the second injury he suffered was on the other knee. And his immediate thought was, oh, well, that's great, you know, because I'll kind of balance it out now. You know, he felt that was better than having the same injury on the same knee. But also, I guess, more to the point, he knew about the rehab. And you would think for ordinary people, you know, that would crush you. That kind of setback would completely crush you. But from his point of view, he just said, I know how to do this. So he was straight into the mode of recovery and true to form, he was back ahead of schedule.
It's I suppose it was one of those things where before it happened to me, I said it a couple of times this week, where I used to see players and hear about other players and other teams and my own team. It was probably before the likes of Andy and Tom would have had those injuries. I remember looking at opposition players and thinking, oh, your man's done his ACL, lovely. That's him finished now. He'll never be the same again. And that was almost my mindset. And even just thinking about players doing the rehab is like, how would they get the trust back into? I literally used to think of someone on a box and dropping down and landing on your and getting that trust back in your knee again. Doing all the jumping and twisting and planting and turning that you have to do in Gaelic. And so that was always in the back of my mind. Is like, great, they won't be the same again. And then it happened to me, and I'm like, I said, geez, I'm that person now. It was actually a book that Andy and Tom actually recommended. It's The Obstacle is the Way, it's called, which is all about reframing challenges in terms of just as opposed to taking the negative mindset on it in terms of the obstacle, it's terrible, it's this, that and the other, and sympathy and pity and drowning in your own sorrows. It's flipping it to, well, what's the opportunity from this? So I kind of used that to just reframe it into, again, go back to the engineer came back out again and just created a new challenge and an opportunity out of it. It was an opportunity for some time away from football in terms of not maybe traveling to every session. It was more time with Caroline. It was more time for career development professionally. And then it was a challenge to become the quickest player to come back from an ACL ever. Was almost the next goal I met out of it. So, but ultimately, thankfully, at this stage, like it's a pretty straightforward. The injury's a pain in the arse, but it's a pretty straightforward rehab, really, in terms of it's pretty set out. Mm-hmm. In terms of if you do this, this, and this, you'll be back in 8-9 months. And I think in both cases I managed to push it to maybe, I think it was 7 months I was back on the pitch in both cases. So, but I had the best of support and access through Enda King and the crew in Santry, which allowed me to do that, obviously. But
you'd done all that, I'm thinking, the first time round, and you're back on the training pitch and you're back on the field, and then bang, like that must have been a big hit.
Yeah, it'll teach me now for doing a dummy solo on, I think it was actually Conor Loftus at the time. I rarely did them, but I remember I did a dummy solo, or went to do a dummy solo. I wouldn't say I completed it. I thought I did in my head until I seen the video back of it, where I did this dummy solo and planted to obviously go, and then it just caved in. And I thought I'd sold it, and I watched the video back, and the solo went up in the air, and Conor got the ball, I think. But yeah, that was obviously just a kick. It was a punch in the stomach, in terms of. But funny, then I was like, oh, at least it's not the same one. Like I'll be balanced out now, type of thing. just went back into, I don't know, Robocop, if you like, mode, and just like, right, I know what I did the last time. It went well in terms of, you know, I was like, before starting the first one, you hear of 9, 10, 12 months and be careful and this, that and the other. Whereas I knew I'd gone through it. I can push the boat out on this. And just did the same. And I knew what worked for me the first time, what didn't. Probably drove the physios in Santry and our Mayo, probably mental with Excel sheets and schedules and appointments and how can I push this and annoy Santry to get a surgery as quick as possible, annoying them to get your 3 month checkup after on the 3 months and no later, and all that stuff. But yeah, just literally just again, kind of cliche, but just went about the process again and kind of right, just I'll come back again.
Really good segment there. Just to finish, I'll link to this one. Mike asked Jason, where are Mayo at now heading into 2024?
Like we're still, Mayo are still, from my perspective, are still going to be going into November, December this year with ambitions to win All-Ireland next year. And I think we have the players to do it. So not much changes to last year. I think we're 100%, we're not 10, 12 points off Dublin. Yes, we didn't deserve to be any closer maybe in the game this year, but overall we're much closer than that, and we're still up there with the likes of, you know, the top four or five teams. So I think we're in a really good place. There's a really good group, there's a really good energy. 1 year down with the new management team, a lot of stuff bedded in, people getting used to systems, people, voices, new faces that I think will only just get stronger and develop next year. You know, they're starting from zero with a pre-season last year, and we had a really good one, whereas now they're starting probably pre-season now in terms of management, thinking about new players, and they know a lot more about the group now that can only, I think, only help us drive on next year.
Love it. Great all-around interview. I think there's a lot of, you know, depth to what we all do on this podcast, and why we said, you know what, we'll bring this to another level with patreon.com. We're going to create something that has real foundations, because while we do it for fun, John, we have as much crack at doing this as you can imagine, but we wanted to give something to people that they could feel, God, this is a real product that's going to last long into the future, and it's going to be consistent in what it delivers. So my point is that a person like Mike, who has been involved in the GA covering Mayo football since he was, I mean, I think he was involved in Midwest Radio in his, I don't even think he was in his teens, you won't mind me saying, when he started with them. And the relationships he's built up with all of these Mayo players over the years comes across so well in that interview. And it's obviously, here we are giving you a free podcast and a free sample of what's out there. Just, it's our way of saying, listen, we put a lot of work into this, and I hope you can see in those clips that not only is it just brilliant, you'd sit and listen to Jason talk to himself, let alone in terms of an in-depth interview like that, but it just brings more out of the players, and it was just fascinating to listen to a man who's given so much to Mayo, chatting to someone who kind of knew where to go and what to talk about.
Yeah, and I thought it was instructive. Mike was, during the course of the interview, you know, he referenced that the fact that he has spoken to so many of the players, and he said, like, a question I always ask is,
yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, he's asked it not once or twice but several times. But yeah, but you're so right, Rob, in terms of our in-depth coverage and our ability to have the time and space to do interviews like that. And we've done, you know, a number of big ones this year. We've had Kevin McStay on twice with yourself. We had Robbie Hennelly, do you remember, early in the year as well. And of course we had the first interview with Lee Keegan after he retired as well. So I guess Jason is following in those kind of footsteps in relation to the in-depth interview that he gave us. So yeah, look, it was a great listen, and I hope club members enjoyed it and that everyone else can get a sense of the depth of that interview.
And I'll say this to finish, and I'll just get your thoughts on it, John. The access to the people that we watch and analyse and dissect and just constantly talk about is so important. And for me, I don't know if other listeners will get this, but I listen to Jason Doherty talk about how he'll get the Excel spreadsheet out and start breaking down what the tasks are. And I know from my own work, a million miles from what I'm doing here in terms of my other job, that is something I'm doing now, because I'm faced with such a multitude of complex problems around everything to do with a small business. And I just think a lot of listeners will get that as well. Sometimes I just want to shout at people who are involved in protecting players from a media perspective and just say to them, guys, let them talk. It's part of why we love sport. We want to learn about the processes involved. We want to learn about the detail in as much as they can give. And we want to learn, more importantly, forget about the stuff that's kind of about the team. It's about the person and what makes him who he is. And I think we got a lot of that in that interview.
Yeah, no, no, for sure, for sure. And I think like that team was so close to people's hearts, you know, and I think it is in a way a pity that we're only hearing so much from them when they're gone. But it is great that we are hearing their stories now. But I mean, it's only when you look back on it and you look back on that team in its heyday and you start listing out the names on it and you just realize, wow, you know, that was a great team to follow. I remember ages ago, Rob, would have been 2017, I think. I did a piece after a match for the pod with Amory Kenny. And Jason Doherty obviously was a real big favourite of her family, I know that. And I was asking her just as a supporter, like, what is it about following Mayo and the ups and downs? And that was a real summer of ups and downs. And she said, look, it's this team, it's these players. You know, that there was such a connection with those players, with all of them. And I think we all had our favourites, and Jason Doherty was a particular favourite of mine as well. But I think that's it. I think it's you know, they were a very special group of players, and it kills us all, I think, that they didn't get over the line. But by God, they gave us some days in giving everything to try to do that.
Across the county, the current Mayo Stars are playing for their clubs. The club championship was on this weekend. In the build-up to it, there was two shows. One previous show closer to the weekend, which John has mentioned, and we'll just give you a little snippet of that. But the real highlights clips that we wanted for you guys, just to give you a taste of what's out there. This was an absolute superb, what we would call in the media business, a round table. That's what it is. Get them around the table, although they're all online on perfect microphones. But it was a superb listen. Paddy Finnegan, obviously, manager of Aughermore, really good voice to get on it. Ger Flanagan, our own Ger Flanagan, before he got out on the football fields at the weekend, and Lee Keegan, the very one and only. Great stuff. You picked out three clips. Just give people a little bit of a sample of the depth they got into, and just the fact that I think Mike just sat back. I think Mike might have been having a cigar for part of it, because the boys just went at it.
Yeah, it was a great round table. I thought the three of them sparked off each other really well. And they all brought very different perspectives to it. So a very interesting chat, and a lot of it was, you know, focused on the weekend coming up, but an awful lot was focused on the wider stuff as well. There was a really good debate, for example, about the split season and what's good and what's bad about it. And that was very, very instructive for somebody who sits and stands on the sideline looking in. So yeah, so a really, really interesting discussion. The first clip we have comes from Paddy Finnegan, the Aughermore manager. And what he's talking about is who are the major powers in the club game right now and where they sit vis-a-vis the chasing pack. So in this clip we'll see what Paddy had to say about that.
I think there's you know, results would say there's definitely a cohort of teams that are consistently in finals, semi-finals, quarterfinals, even the last number of years. But I do think the pack is probably a bit closer than it was, as you mentioned earlier, the Ballintubber Castlebar years. They just seem to be a long way ahead of everybody. You know, they were able to get victories really at, you know, pulling up towards the end of a lot of games. And that was even in quarterfinals and maybe semifinals. They rarely were put under pressure, bar when they played each other. I think that's probably a bit different now, in that there is more competition there. Yeah, Westport are county champions, but I think teams can compete with them, not more. Castlebar, Ballina, the same, to a large degree, you can have a go at them.
The voice of Paddy Finnegan. Onwards, you picked out a second clip here, and it's kind of more around the importance of senior football and what it means to players.
Yeah, and this was Ger Flanagan, and I thought this was really interesting because he talks about the discussion kind of got to the point about teams that, you know, is it worthwhile to drop down to intermediate, take a breather, rebuild and come back up. And Ger pushed back very, very forcibly against this, and obviously was doing it from a position of knowledge because he has played at junior and intermediate and up to senior. And what he was contrasting the position now with Ball as a senior club versus what it was like in junior and intermediate, when you couldn't really get anyone interested in the club or do anything or get sponsors or anything like that, and how much they've come on in the years since then, and how vital it is for clubs like Ball to stay at the level they're at.
You know, playing senior football is such a draw. It's such an attraction for players, for managers, for coaches, and for the club in general. Like we went from, you know, 2016, 2017, when we were a junior team, like you would have to, it's like it would, you'd have a better chance of getting blood from a stone to get someone involved with the senior team, even from players and managers, you know, trying to get sponsorship of jerseys. It's just harder. It's just harder to do. And then all of a sudden, 5 years' time, you're up in senior football, and everything is just bigger. The scale is just bigger. Players want to get involved. Players are coming back. Players are putting in more work on their off days and on their on days, because they know like the standard is here, and this is where you get done. If you don't get to, you're going to get absolutely walloped the next day. And then outside of that, in the club, like we found massively when we went to senior, our club progressed massively with that. You know, we held a massive fundraiser, and we bought a second pitch. We've had big developments in the pitch around the clubhouse, around having floodlights. We've now like an S&C coach with the senior team. We've a dietitian working with us. We've, you know, coaches that inter-county teams would only love to get. And this is five, six years on from struggling to get someone involved with us. You know, so that's one of the biggest draws about playing senior football. When you're playing senior football and you're up there competing and you're pushing hard, people want to help you out. And if you go back down to intermediate, you might lose that. The draw is not there.
And the final clip from this brilliant show that, like, I mean, if this, like, if Jason Doherty isn't getting you signed up anyways, you've already signed up, so I don't need to sell this, but Lee Keegan was absolutely outstanding on this, and this actually got clipped out and we sent it around the social media platforms because it was just him calling it as it is and saying something a lot of people felt anyways, but when it comes from Mr. Keegan, it carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, this is almost like a volleyball play, I think, you know, the way Mike kind of threw up the ball, Paddy kind of put it across, and Lee just smashed it down. The topic was Fergal Boland, and the question Mike set up was, you know, is it time for another look at him? Paddy obviously had the Aughamore angle on it, saying, look, at you know, in Aughamore, people can't understand why Fergal isn't on the Mayo panel. But obviously, from an Aughamore, from a club, a selfish club perspective, it's great to have him around more. And then Lee just did, you know, in terms of telling it like it is. So this is definitely worth another play.
Let's say, for argument's sake, you had somebody involved in the Mayo senior management that could get a message to Kevin McStay. Fergal Boland, does he need to be back in the Mayo squad next season, in your opinion? Were you surprised that he wasn't in there this year? Few eyebrows raised over that one, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone I've spoken to was shocked, and everyone in Aughamore was definitely shocked when Fergal was left out. It seems strange that he went from being one of the first players that came in against Kerry 2 years ago to not being in the top 40 or whatever they brought in initially. But yeah, I mean, that's Kevin and Stephen Rochford and the management decision, but yeah, it seems strange to me. And I think Fergal is playing well again for us this year. He's captaining the team, and you know, for us, from a selfish point of view, I love having Fergal around the place and not involved with Mayo, because we get to see him every week, and he can drive standards and he can bring lads along. And again, as Lee mentioned earlier, Fergal is a fun character to have around the place. He's great crack. And, you know, he'll drive standards, but he'll also have a laugh around the place. So from an Aughamore point of view, we love having him. But, you know, I'm sure he does himself want to be back in. And if he has a good championship in the next month or 6 weeks, then I'd find it very strange if they didn't have another look at him.
There's not 10-4 the Bevan Fergie Bullen now.
No way.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't even question that. Not an ocean. And that's, for me, that was crazy. I'll be totally blunt with it. For me, I played for you long enough, and I've seen the stuff that man does. You see now, Paddy, full time. That man is programmed to train like a professional, but also he has the skills to go with it, and his shooting is as accurate as you'll see for any team, any young player. So if you're telling me Fergie Bowden isn't fit player for Mayo, then I can tell you straight up that's not where we're at in football. So because he is a fantastic footballer, and like Paddy said, brilliant cracker in the stage room. So
great stuff. That entire show is available on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. For less than a couple of cup of coffees a month, you can listen to show after show around football in the west of Ireland and lots more culture fun throughout the winter. But for now, we're very much going to be going every second week too into great detail about the coming games at the weekend, predicting it, putting our heads on the block. There was one more show out last week that we're not going to clip up in great detail because obviously the preview show is very much in the past. But that said, you could easily listen back to it and enjoy every bit of the detail on this particular one, because it's Mike introducing you to a lot of sides, because no matter how much you've been following the club scene, you're probably following your own club predominantly. So for a lot of people, there was a yearning, a need for information before the weekend came upon us. And I feel like Colin Boyle and Mike Finnerty had it. You picked out a clip just to highlight that, John.
Yeah, this is just Mike. And I'm styling it, this whole pod was just an absolute tour de force by Mike, because the level of detail he got into in relation to all of the different teams and the stories that he was picking up about who might be available and who might be in the country and who might be back from a wedding. In this case, this is the Ball Mayo Gales.
That game swung on such a decision.
Yeah. No, I'm not even sure. Was the player, was it?
He never made it back, I don't think. No, that was what Mike predicted.
And what Mike said was that could be
that seems to be the case, yeah.
The deciding factor. But that was, you know, he had that level of detail across the entire championship. You know, I don't think I can recall as many names being name checked in a podcast before. It was a classic performance, and this is just a small sample of it.
Yeah, Boyler said there, whoever wins this game, and I couldn't help but think, well, whoever loses this game will be at home watching, reeling in the years on Sunday evening. They will not be in the rendezvous in Ball, that's for sure, because this is as personal and as local as it gets. The big talking point, I suppose, in the build-up is Conor Welsh. I mean, Conor Welsh is the guy that makes Ball tick. And unless, I think, we get the guy from Sky Sports News to park up outside the training ground and watch for sightings of Conor Welsh, it depends who you talk to. Obviously, he got married recently. He's on his honeymoon. Is he coming back or not? My information, it might be worthless at 4:30 on Sunday, is that he won't be there. He won't be back from honeymoon. That's obviously a big swing towards Mayo Gales. Jerry Holian is suspended from last year as well, so he's unavailable. Really good defender. And Podge McLaughlin, the captain this season, I think he's doubtful with an injury. So Declan Sweeney has a few holes to fill. Now, he has the Flanagan brothers, so there straight away, you're back in credit. But on the Mayo Gales side, Paul McGarry has gone up to the Gales this year. And I'll tell you, there aren't too many lads who run tighter ships than Paul McGarry. I think he has them all zipped down nice and tight. But Ethan Henry, the talk, is carrying a knock. I saw the Gales myself actually in a league game as well earlier this year. They were missing a few players that night, but nothing wrong in terms of team spirit. Nothing wrong in terms of attitude, and I agree with Boyler. This is very close, and the fact it's in Mayo Abbey as well, they're a hard nut to crack. I think Conor Welsh's absence might just be enough to give the Gales something to work with there, and Ball might be waiting on Sunday evening for that first championship win.
To tee up that link, John was saying, I don't think I can recall as many names mentioned. I think at the start of the pod, I was like, well, that's my job, is to keep this to about 30 minutes. Well, my God, we got it to 50 minutes, which was a hard work. And we covered some ground. We talked about 41 clubs by the end of it, which was brilliant. And some great stuff going across the junior scene as well this weekend. Great club football all around. You said off the top of the podcast, John, you were in Ahamore for the big derby. But yeah,
I got to Ahamore because, and I only got... As I said, I only got the second half. Now, I didn't miss a whole pile because it was 3 points each at half time. The conditions were shocking. It was a game that kind of stubbornly refused to come to life. A lot of possession football for, you know, the in the third quarter, but then it exploded into life in the final quarter. Ballyhonus got two fantastic scores. One I think was from Jack Coyne. They leveled it up, or more than went back ahead. And with 3 minutes to go, Ballyhonus poked in a goal, and it looked like they were home and dry. But the fun was only starting then, because Fergal Boland, yes, that man Fergal Boland, took the fight to them straight away, drove right down the middle and clipped over a point to leave only a point in it. Then Ahamore got a penalty, and we're in injury time now. Liam Lavin's kick was saved. He picked it up and lashed it in on the rebound. And the goal was disallowed. I have no idea why, because it certainly wasn't steps. There's some hint that he might have switched hands. I actually videoed it because I was on the sideline, and it was the match on Mayo GATV. I don't think there's any evidence of that either. You know, Vinnie Neary can enlighten us all in his own good time if he wants to. But certainly that decision denied Ahamore the victory. But it didn't deny them the draw, because Tom O'Flaherty then, I think 7 minutes into injury time, won the ball out on the right wing, backed himself, and he's a fabulous player. He really caught the eye yesterday and lamped it over in really difficult windy conditions, and that got the draw. So yeah, hell of a match. El Clasico in East Mayo.
As you know, well, you did the minor football pods this year. I was assigned to the under-20s, which was much less expenses, as I tell everyone. But O'Flaherty, over the last few seasons, has been a really, really good player that I'm looking forward to seeing more of. So I can't wait to see him in the club championship. Listen, we'll be across this in detail on our club football review pod. But what jumps out at you at the weekend? I mean, there's some big wins. Balladrina, big win in Claremorris. Mayo Gaels had a huge win. You're talking about El Clasico. Well, that's the West Mayo or whatever. Is this Westport? West and South, really, actually, when it comes to Mayo Gaels. But by God, they're rivals. What a win.
It was, yeah, it was. You know, and I think, you know, there weren't too many wins that changed the dial all that much. I think Belmullet's win over Gary Moore was hugely significant. Yeah. They had to do it, but at the same time, you know, having dug it out right at the end with the last minute point, that was significant. I think Balladrina's win over Claremorris was significant as well. And I think the result that really stood out for me was Westport's demolition of Charlestown, because that kind of shows, they're really up for it again this year.
Yeah, they mean business.
And while we're talking about demolitions, Rob, we can't forget Ballinrobe 6-9.
Careful.
For Shule, 9 points. What's going on there?
You were giving us credit for that preview pod. It was an outrageous, outrageous prediction to say that was going to be a 1 or 2 point game when it ended up being an 18 point game. So any accusations that we were talking down the Ballinrobe side are going to be hard to deal with this week. We're going to have a pretty good media officer really on our side here to explain ourselves. But no, I don't think anyone saw that coming. Last year it was a draw. Shule, a really rock solid side. You would even, the way club championship goes, who knows? They'll probably get better and be.
That was over there. That was down in over in McGovern Park, wasn't it? So presumably, you know, Peter Ford is saying, this kind of performance wouldn't be good enough the next day.
Exactly. A lot of improvement needed in a lot of areas. That's exactly what I heard around town the last night. Well, Hollymount are waiting in the long grass, and Kiltane have a point to prove as well. That actually was a massive win for Hollymount Carrimore up in Kiltane. Really hard work. But again, conditions horrendous. So let's hope we can. I just love now, we're off next weekend and then club championship back the weekend after. I think I speak for everyone and say you just love a dry weekend. We don't even need the sun shining. Just dry and gets less wind, a bit of football.
Yeah, because I saw a lot of complaints about the quality of football this weekend and saying, it's awful advertisement for football in Mayo, and you know, the match that was on television and all the rest. But I think people just were simply not taking account of the conditions. Like, we had a name storm over the country this weekend, the second one of the summer. Like, the weather has been horrendous. So the pitches are wet enough. But I mean, the wind was blowing Friday night. It was blowing Saturday for all those games. And as I can personally attest, it was blowing hard on Sunday too.
big win for Balna by a point, squeezing it out against Brafe, and a really fascinating contest, which is what people say, what they say on Sky Sports when they're trying to keep you paying the money every month when it's a brutal game. But it wasn't in any way, it wasn't for that I'm saying it. It really was a compelling contest between Caspar Mitchells and Knockmore. And the fact that there was just nothing between them at the end just tells you those sides are, they're crossing paths again. I am sure of it. At some point, you can, it's hard to imagine them not both getting out of the group. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Casabar and Knockmore are two of the big beasts in this competition. And you could easily see them meeting much later in the competition with everything on the line.
Looking forward to more coverage this week. Lots more podcasts in the offing as well. We're working away on things, and hopefully no more big Mayo retirements. But there's a county board meeting as we record this, where they're hoping to ratify some of the underage managers, and I think there'll be big news out of that as well, and you can be sure we'll be across it, as they say. John, have yourself a good week.
You too, Rob.
Enjoyed that. Mayo Football Podcasts on Patreon.com. Where do you get it? You go patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. What is Patreon? It's an app. You can download it on your phone. Patreon. Just download it and then search for the Mayo Football Podcast. There it is. Sign up for less than a couple of cup of coffees a month. You get all of this brilliant content. In the meantime, we'll talk to you on this feed in a week. Thanks, John.
Cheers, Rob.